This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Is from the first epistle of Peter. We will be looking at chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom thou now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God.
The title of this message is Inexpressible Joy. That comes from verse 8. Brother Todd read to us in his translation as unspeakable. It's the same idea, a joy that is unspeakable, inexpressible. And this is a joy that is available for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you consider yourself a joyful person? When you read the Bible, the idea of the joy of the Lord, do you know what that phrase is describing? Can you say that you experience a joy that comes from God? You see, joy is what the Bible calls a fruit of the Spirit. So if you're open to 1 Peter, you can jump back to the book of Galatians and see this. In the book of Galatians, we have a list of fruit that comes from having the Holy Spirit of God. We know that the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus. And here it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There it is. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So this is true for every believer. If you have the Spirit of God, you have access to the joy of the Lord. So the question is, if today you have the Spirit of God, then do you have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you have the joy of the Lord? Now, immediately someone might be thinking, he must be asking if I am happy. He must be asking if I am visibly cheerful. Nope, that's not what I'm asking. I am asking if you have joy. Joy in the Bible is a mysterious virtue because, listen now, joy can be entirely experienced, but joy cannot be entirely expressed or explained. Joy can be entirely experienced. You can experience the joy of the Lord, but you're going to struggle with expressing it. And you're going to be struggling with explaining it. Can you describe the color spectrum to a blind person born blind? Can you describe the most beautiful music you've ever heard to a man born deaf? Can you explain the feeling of being able to run and run fast in that feeling of just being able to go to a man who was born lame. You can't. And that's what it's like trying to explain the joy of the Lord. It is always inadequate. But again, joy can be experienced. You can know that you have the joy of the Lord. You can go about your day with a sensation which cannot be described any other way than joy. See, the Bible describes this joy as something different than just giddiness, happiness, and levity. It is a deep-rooted assurance and gladness knowing that God is with you. And God will be with you no matter where you go and no matter what situation you find yourself in. I read this, that somebody said that joy is, or peace is joy at rest, and joy is peace on the move. And there's something to be said of that. As believers, we all know what I'm talking about. In some way, you have experienced joy. The problem is that we get so focused on this life, we lose sight of the joy of the Lord. We lose sight of that joy that God wants us to have in our circumstances, because joy will help you get through the circumstances and difficulties of life. Joy is God's gift to His children for you to persevere through no matter what you may be experiencing. And so, in this message, I'd like to show us what Peter describes as inexpressible joy, so that you know what God wants you to have, what God is offering to you, and what is available to you this morning. First Peter is written to Christians in Asia Minor, called under the heading of the dispersion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. And then he lists a bunch of areas. He's talking about believers that had been scattered. And we read in history of a scattering of believers, and many of them were scattered because of persecution. If you read throughout the book of 1 Peter, you'll see that Peter brings up this idea of suffering a lot, because the believers at this time were suffering for their faith. They were suffering under cruel family members. They were suffering under cruel employers. They were suffering under cruel masters, under cruel governments. And Peter's writing to them to be encouraged despite this suffering. And he starts the message that he gives to them about joy that's available to them. And so I want to know what this kind of joy is. I want to experience it. I want us all to experience. So Peter makes a few statements about joy for us to observe and welcome into our lives. The first is this: joy comes through knowing Jesus. Look, if you will, we just heard it, but we're going to read it again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So there it is, that we are blessing God, who in His mercy caused us to be born again. And that was through what Jesus did, not what we accomplished. It was through His death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So, benefit upon benefit of this salvation is that you have an inheritance ready for you to receive when you die and go to heaven. Verse 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed in the last time. And in this you greatly rejoice. You see, this joy that the Bible describes that God is offering us is a joy that comes through the gospel of knowing Jesus. That is where the joy comes from. It doesn't come from anywhere else. It is in this, verse 6, that you greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that also perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now the focus at the end of verse 7 is on Jesus. Look at verse 8. Whom, having not seen, you love. We haven't seen Jesus. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, there it is, through faith again. Believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. So the source of this inexpressible joy, the object of this inexpressible joy is Jesus Christ, and it comes through the gospel of knowing Him. Jesus offers to us His own joy. Turn back, if you will, to John chapter 15. The Bible describes this joy as coming from Christ. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and your joy may be full." Okay? He said, "My joy may be in you." So this joy comes from Jesus. I don't know what it's like to be the perfect, undefiled, sinless Son of God and have joy. It's a perfect joy that Jesus has. And He says that in me, you have access to that very joy. It's a joy that you cannot experience until you know Him as Lord and Savior. It's like marriage. You experience all kinds of marriage growing up. All kinds of relationships growing up. You experience all these different kinds of friendships and acquaintanceships and family members and stuff, but you don't know what it's like to be married until you get married. Amen? You see, this time of year is, in many parts of the country, the time for harvesting maple syrup. You might go down the road and you'll see trees tapped with different tubes to collect and bags to collect maple syrup. It's ideal because during the day, the temperature goes up, and at night, the temperature drops really low, and that's what makes the sap come up from the ground in the trees, and people harvest it. And it's delicious. And you take that sap and you boil it down. There was a place in New England I remember we went to where there was a demonstration of people that who were tapping maple syrup, and you'd go there and you watch them do the process, and they boil it down. They take this much sap, boil it down to this much maple syrup, and oh, how delicious it is. Well, finding joy in something other than Jesus is like tapping into a pine tree. It produces sap, let me tell you. But you're not going to want to put that on your pancakes. And people are trying so much to find their joy in all these different things, all these different pleasures, and all these different avenues of life. People are finding their joy in money, trying to find their joy in sex, trying to find their joy in food, trying to find their joy in entertainment, trying to find their joy in health, trying to find their joy in this and that and everything else. And what they're doing, they're tapping into the wrong tree. And they're putting it on their pancakes, and it's coming up sour in their belly. Because the joy that we need in this life only comes through tapping in to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you finding the joy of the Lord? C.S. Lewis said this, "I sometimes wonder whether all pleasures are not substitutes for joy." The Israelites were going through a difficult time in the book of Nehemiah. They were just returning from the exile after the time of Daniel that we went through. Well, they started to return and they started to rebuild Jerusalem, and they got the walls down, but it was a really pitiful sight in their minds and hearts, given the former glory of the Solomon days. And they were very down, and they got together, and Ezra stood on the platform, started reading the word of God. And it says that they all were filled with grief. And the people said, the leader said to the people, he said, "Go your way." He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." It is the joy found in the Lord, the joy found in Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus, you don't have joy. You don't have access. And if you know Jesus and you're not keeping that relationship with Him, you're losing that source of joy. Are you finding your joy in the Lord? The question I have for us all, listen, which trees are we tapping into? The second observation here, not only does joy come through knowing Jesus, in this passage in 1 Peter, we see that this joy is not dependent on earthly senses and circumstances. I'm going to repeat this So everybody listen up. This joy is not dependent on earthly senses and circumstances. When you read this passage, when I saw this, everything that Peter described is nothing that really can be sensed with the five senses, or is nothing that has to do with the immediate circumstances of his readers. Look, it says that we have been born again through a living hope in verse 3, an inheritance in heaven, we're kept by the power of God through faith, and it says, in this you greatly rejoice. Can you sense any of that with your five senses? Does that have anything to do with earthly circumstances? And then it says here in verse 7 that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom they have not seen you love. So this connection to Christ is not something you can see with your physical eyes. It says that you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible. You see, the eyes of faith are more important than the eyes of this physical world. And the eyes of faith see him who is invisible. By believing all of his word, all of his life for you, you tap in. And so it's not dependent on earthly senses and circumstances. Now this happens in both a positive and a negative sense. Think with me here. Let's look at the positive senses and circumstances that we might experience. We have five senses. We have sight, we have sound, we have touch, we have smell, we have taste. I know that in my life, when I go about my day, God has used experiences of my circumstances and used my five senses to bring the joy of the Lord into my life. You see, God uses vehicles to bring his joy into your life. For sight, one of the most stunning sights I've ever experienced is driving through West Virginia in the Kentucky area. Just going down through the Appalachian Mountains just brings such a beauty. And I think the creation of the Lord and the joy of the Lord comes. A sound that brings me great joy. It may be strange to think of it this way, but it brings me a joy when I hear a morning dove singing on a rainy day. There's something about a morning dove on a quiet, rainy day that I don't know why it is. You think it is mournful, it's a morning dove, but it brings me joy. When I think of the sensation of touch, it's such a joy I get when I go swimming. I grew up a fish. I had a river by my house. I was swimming all the time. My summers were spent more in the water than out of the water. I love to feel the water around my body as I swim through. That brings me joy. I love the smell of lilac trees. When I grew up in my house in Hope, Rhode Island, there was in our backyard trees, gigantic trees of yellow and, white and pink. And then we had a giant purple bush of lilacs all over our house. In the springtime, the smell of the lilacs filled the air. It was just around our whole property. And I just loved that smell. And when I smell a lilac today, we've got a little lilac bush that we planted back there. It's growing. And I just go up to that bush and I smell it, and the nostalgia and the joy comes. We got taste. Oh, the things that can bring us joy when we get to eat, for example. I can't wait to sink my teeth into my mother-in-law's Anisette Easter bread this season. Little plug there. It's so delicious to me, the flavors in that bread. I look forward to it every year. These things God can use to bring joy into our lives. That is from him. Amen. But technically, the joy of the Lord should not be affected were those things removed. If the vehicle was removed, you still have access. Oh, this experience I had. I remember it was shortly before I moved here, and I was going through a difficult time in my soul with the Lord, and I remember in the car by Colt State Park, a giant park back out east that it was just beautiful, beautiful park right by the ocean. I remember sitting there in the car, and I had my Bible open. I was reading, and the Lord just revealed himself to me in a glorious way. And I was reading and praying and praying, and the joy, it was like waves of the ocean hitting me inside and hitting me inside. And I got so filled, I had to exit my vehicle and I ran through the woods that were in front of me. I didn't know where I was going. There was a path. I was just running filled with this joy. And I got out through the woods and I came to the edge of the ocean with the vast ocean in front of me. And the wind was strong that day and it brushed past my face. And these giant boulders were on the sandy beach of New England. And I stood up on one of these boulders and I remember praising God mightily out loud, not caring if anybody around me heard me. The joy of the Lord was filled in me in that moment. But you take away the ocean sight, you take away the wind, you take away the boulders, you take away the sandy beach, you take away the beautiful woods, the beautiful park, you take it all away, and I still can have that joy. Because it's in the Lord and knowing Him. And that is crucial because these are all positive circumstances, but you think of the negative circumstances when you see the suffering of those around you. You hear the sound of a text message at 4:30 in the morning. You touch things that are unpleasant. You smell things that are unpleasant. You feel things that are, you taste things that are like green olives. I know I'm Italian. It's weird. I'm working on it. Despite all these terrible things that can happen in your life, and I want to be dead serious now, everybody is going to experience these awful circumstances. The reason why God does not make joy dependent on positive circumstances, because He wants to give you joy in the terrible circumstances. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You have it in Him. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 to 19 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Oh, Paul and Barnabas, they were preaching the gospel and they disturbed somebody's business. They got whipped. They got beaten. They got thrown in jail, unjustly tortured. They were suffering. And what did they do in jail? At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They had the joy of the Lord as their strength. Do you want this kind of joy in your life? It will not be dependent on favorable circumstances. You don't have to wait until things work out. And it is not robbed from you because of unfavorable circumstances. It is a joy of the Lord. The final thing that we see in this passage from Peter about this joy, not only is it the joy that comes through knowing Jesus, not only is it joy that is not dependent on circumstances, but thirdly, joy, this joy cannot be sufficiently expressed. You see, the way Peter describes this joy is that there is no way which could adequately and sufficiently express the joy of the Lord. In verse 8, he says, you haven't seen the Lord, but believing in Him, you rejoice with joy inexpressible or joy unspeakable. That word is the only word used in the entire New Testament. And it literally means just without telling. It is a joy that is without telling, something that cannot be sufficiently expressed. Now, joy can be expressed. We can express the joy of the Lord. God can work through you to bring a smile. He can work through you to sing when you have this joy. Or you can speak the praises of the Lord. Listen to how joy is expressed in the Psalms. In Psalm 33, verses 1 to 3, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. So here it's described, you can express joy through shouting, through singing, through playing music to the glory of God. In Psalm 98, the Bible says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands and let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. There's just jubilant joy that can be seen in the Psalms. In Psalm 149, it says, let them praise his name with dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel of the timbrel and the harp. I've got a tambourine right there in the pew if anybody wants to sing praise to the Lord and join me up here when we do our opening song, okay? We can express joy, but the point is this. Joy cannot be sufficiently expressed. You cannot express your joy in the Lord and feel, that was it. That was sufficient. Got it out. That was enough. When I work with my co-workers, the Amish co-workers, sometimes when I'm with them, they're trying to describe something to me and they stumble because they're bilingual, so they have their Amish language and they speak English very well. But sometimes they stumble because it comes to a point when they have something they want to say, but they can't think of a word in English that accurately matches what they want to say in Amish. And so they'll sit there and they'll think and they'll say, and they'll look to each other and they'll say like, and I'll go, what is that? And they say, well, I don't know, like, how would you describe it? And they look at each other and they say, I don't know kind of what it bagabaga means. And they'll try to really come up with an attempt and they fail. They say, no, it's kind of like this, and they give a word. And then they say, it's kind of like that, but not really. And it comes to a point where there's just a brick wall. There's this insufficiency. And the joy of the Lord is something that you can have, but expressing it is not sufficient. And the reason why I bring this up, I want everybody to pay attention. Because what that means is independent of expression, ultimately. So it could be the case that somebody may have the joy of the Lord and be deeply grieved at the same time. Because the expression is not an exact description of what's going on inside. I don't want us to think, you know, that person is always peppy and bubbly. They must be a really joyful person. No, because happiness is a different thing than this joy. This is not necessarily true. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was an incredibly joyful person. He said in the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. But you know what he also said? In Romans chapter 9, when he thought of his unsaved brothers and sisters, Jewish brethren, he said this, he said, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. There can be a simultaneous grief and joy, grief and joy, grief and joy. Why? Because joy is deeper than happiness. Jesus, I described to you as having a joy that is perfect. As I read, he says that his joy may be in you. He was the most joyful man who ever was on this planet in a perfect sense of joy because he was God in flesh in all perfection. But the Bible describes him this way too. Man of acquainted with. So don't you think I'm going through this difficulty and I'm very sad about it that therefore you do not have the joy of the Lord. No, in that grief, let the joy of the Lord be that foundation for your strength so that you can keep going with your Lord. I totally disagree with this quote that I came across. The bottom line for you and me is this. I won't name the person. Grimness is not a Christian virtue. There are no sad saints. Or this one that says, there is nothing that has done more harm than in Christianity than its connection with black clothes and long faces. And I think to myself, but there may be those going through great difficulty. May not be the bubbly person effervescing in their pew, but they've got that deep, settled joy that God will see them through. And that when they are at home and they are on their knees, God knows and they know He will take care of it and all will be well. So the question for you this morning and for me, do you have the joy of the Lord? Do you have that joy that comes only through Jesus Christ and knowing Him personally? Have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Until you do, you will not have anything of what I described, because it's only when you come to Him in repentance and faith, accepting His gift of salvation that He accomplished on the cross. Are you trying to make your joy dependent on the circumstances around you? Trying to make it and manipulate circumstances so they're always favorable so that you can have joy? No. How about today you walk from this place and you say, I have joy in Jesus right now available to me. And finally, how are you expressing that joy? You won't be satisfied. It doesn't need to be a show for everyone. Just between you and the Lord. Let it be sweet. Let it be pure. Let it be wonderful. You will know it when it happens. Amen. Let us tap in to the tree of life, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Your word says that in Your presence is fullness of joy. I pray, Father God, that we would come to You, nurture our relationship with You, and tap into that joy that You have for us. I thank You so much, Father, for Jesus. I thank You for the Spirit of God that comes into our hearts to give us the fruit. Somebody here this morning needs this message. Somebody needs the joy of the Lord. Dear God, I pray that they would tap in now by faith. Say, I come. I come. I don't care what's going on in my life. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what my circumstances are. I'm coming for joy from You. And may it be my strength. Heavenly Father, bless this congregation abundantly. Bless us, Father God, sufficiently to obey You. Bless us this week. Keep us following You. Keep our eyes fixed on You, that we may have Your joy in us and that our joy. Thank You, Father God. For everybody here, I pray, in the name of Jesus, we all say, Amen.